Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5. Now it came about that while the multitudes were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying on the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asking him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon's, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, so that it began to sink. When Simon saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And it came about that while there was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him, and he healed and to be healed of their sicknesses. But he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And it came about one day, as he was teaching, that there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher, right in the center in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to him, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins have been forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise and take up your stretcher and go home." And at once he rose up before them and took up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And they were all seized with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." And after that he went out and noticed a tax gatherer named Levi sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and rose and began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax gatherers and other people who were reclining at the table with them. And Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax gatherers and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said to him, "The disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "You cannot make the attendants of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." And he was also telling them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment, otherwise he will tear both the new and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise a new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough." Amen. So we have a interesting episode as he meets his disciples in the beginning here at Gennesaret, and just a kind of an interesting little thing happens here. They're sitting there in the boat. They're lying. They went all night long. They didn't catch anything, and then when Jesus appears, he says, "Hey, let's go put out the nets into the deep." Now, as a fisherman, right, this is just stupid, okay? If you guys know anything about fishing, you know, especially here in the Mediterranean, the Lake Gennesaret actually is very, very clear, you know, and so you could actually look and you could see quite deep down into the water. That's why fishermen fish at night, because it's dark. The fish can't really, you know, tell what's going on above the water, and so they're able to catch fish. During the day, they go really deep into the water. And they basically hide, you know, until nighttime comes again. And so Jesus is telling these professional fishermen how to do their job, basically. You know, and you could tell that's very reluctantly, Peter says, well, okay, I'll do it. And he does it, and the reward is so incredibly great. They have to ask other people to come and help them out. And then, you know, another passage says the nets start breaking, and it impacts Peter so much that he falls on his knees and he says, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. You know, there was something that was happening there. I think this can be a very practical for many of you that are working. You know, a lot of times God may ask you to do something in your job, in your workplace, that goes against your experience and your expertise, right? That goes against how this business is normally done. You know, and you have to give space for God to do that, you know, in your life, in your workplace. You know, oh, that's not how business is done in this industry. You know, well, that's not how we do it here in this bank, or, you know, that's not how, you know, our shop runs, and we do it this way. And every once in a while, God will come into the picture, and he will offend your mind. You know, he'll go beyond industry standards, right? He'll go against the flow of what's always done in this sector or that. And if you give the Lord space, now, I'm not saying that he's going to ask you to do this all the time, right? Because only a few episodes here. but he tells them to go beyond their experience and their wisdom, and they receive an incredible reward. You know, and if you read the Bible long enough, you know that this is a really typical pattern where God will ask people to do something that they're not that normally used to doing. You know, he'll ask him to go beyond the boundaries a little bit. He'll ask him to go against the flow. You know, and when the people of God obey, incredible fruits and rewards come. Right? And so, you know, when you're at work, and you know, as you're working and you hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, why don't you do it this way? You know, I would say, listen. I mean, what do you got to lose, right? Maybe your reputation, but you can get that back. You know, it's, I mean, you know, well, hopefully you can get it back. You know, but I mean, just give God that space. You know, if Peter would have been really stubborn and say, Jesus, you're, you know, a rabbi, I'm a fisherman, don't tell me what to do, right? And you'd be surprised how many of us act like that. God, you're God, you take care of spiritual matters, you know? This is me, I'm the boss of my life, this is what I do, all right? And so you take care of, you know, saving the world, and I'll take care of my business or whatnot. You know, and when we start compartmentalizing like that, I think we get into big trouble and things. And so, especially, you know, I mean, this goes way beyond, but especially in your workplace, allow God that just that space to speak into the decisions that you make, to speak into the priorities that you have, you know, at work, and watch him do something. You know, and it usually goes against the grain. It goes, you know, against the flow of what's done. And you know, a lot of times we'll go beyond our experience. But if it's the will of God and if we obey, you can rest assured that your reward will become so full, right, that you'll be sinking under the blessings as we see here. And so so he calls Peter into ministry. And then there's an interesting story of the leper, and he heals. And then the next one I want to get to is the paralytic. And so there's this paralytic. His friends take him, you know, they can see all right now. And there's a really interesting phrase. It says here in verse 17 at the end, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Right? It goes back to what's the source. You know, is it Jesus because he's the Messiah? No. Right? The life that makes, or the power that makes the Christian life possible is the Holy Spirit. You know, and Luke is making a nod again to, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit, right, that's actually even enabling Jesus to heal. Right? So it's, you know, it goes beyond the man who Jesus was. And then they take this thing, and this is a real nod straight to intercession. I mean, this is what we're doing when we gather together. And I want you to even picture it this way. There's no room in the inn, okay? So there's no room in this place, packed house. But these guys don't give up. They go up to the roof, right? They create a hole, you know, and I want you to pay attention to what it says there. And they let him down through the tiles in the stretcher, end of verse 19, right in the center in front of Jesus. Okay? Now, I want to suggest to you that's precisely what happens when we're praying for other people. Right? This should be the goal of all of our intercession. You know, we pray for those three people, you know, during the week, and maybe in your own prayer times, you pray for your parents, you pray for, you know, your colleagues, you know, pray for yourself and all these things. When you're praying and you're offering up those prayers of intercession to God, what you're literally doing, right, is you're putting that person right in the center in front of Jesus. Right? That's your petitions, your prayers, your intercession. That's precisely what you're doing. Where it seems like there's no room anywhere, right? I mean, you're going up on the roof, man. You're making the hole and you're putting this person right in front of Jesus. Right? That's effective intercession. You know, that's the kind of heart, right? And so Jesus turns, and this is a kind of a good model for us, you know, to understand faith and answered prayer and whatnot, and to give us encouragement in a lot of ways too. And so Jesus, seeing their faith, right, took care of business. Now, whose faith was Jesus seeing? It wasn't the paralytic, right? He was just on a stretcher. He had nothing to do with this whole thing, right? It was the faith of his friends that brought the paralytic right in front of Jesus. You know, and as we're praying, especially for our non-believers or our parents who don't know the Lord, right? You know, isn't it a wonderful encouragement for us to recognize that it's not dependent on that person's faith? You know, that it's not dependent that person has to believe, you know, whatnot. It's actually, he says, seeing their faith, seeing the ones that brought the one down, seeing their friend's faith, Jesus forgave sins, right? And then Jesus healed, right? Took care of the eternal aspect and then took care of the temporal aspect. You know, and as we pray for people today, you know, and every day, I want you to have this picture, right? Luke is giving us this little picture, this little window in prayer, right? A window of intercession and friendship. You know, as you're praying for, you know, that lost soul, what you're doing in intercession is you're bringing that person right in the center in front of Jesus. You know, and if we offer our prayers in faith, God will reward. All right, it's you know, I mean, obviously some depends on the other person, you know, but mostly God rewards those who come to him, right? Simply put. So let's close our eyes today. When we pray on behalf of others, imagine placing that person right in the front of Jesus. And we offer that prayer in faith. And Jesus, seeing our faith, heals and saves. Deals with both the eternal and the temporal. I don't know about you guys, that's good news. Deals with the eternal and the temporal. And the gospel tells us that he will give us 100 times more in this life and then the life to come. Right? The blessing comes in the temporal and the eternal. I see too many Christians these days just so focused on the eternal in terms of what they'll get in heaven, and so they're just prone to suffering on this earth. That's not what the Bible says. It's not scriptural. God says 100 more times in this life and then the life to come. So as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate on that.
to me and sing again. I long for your love so much. I've wanted your pure touch. So beautiful, so beautiful. I need you to be here. Come to me, I can feel you near. I love you, you are my home. You love me as your own. You are beautiful, beautiful. You are beautiful, beautiful. So beautiful. You are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You are beautiful, you are beautiful, so beautiful. You are beautiful. So beautiful, so beautiful. I need you like the rain. I need you like the rain. Come to me and sing again. I long for your love so much. Wanted your pure touch. You are beautiful, so beautiful. You are beautiful, beautiful, so beautiful. You are beautiful, beautiful, so beautiful. You are beautiful.
Our first prayer point today, let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for people in your community. It could be your family. It could be your relatives. It could be people that are your friends. Really put them right in the front, right in the center, in Jesus' face. Let's ask God to move in their life. And maybe you're praying specifically for a need over these people. Pray for that. Pray for that temporal need, but especially just pray for that eternal need that they have. Let's just cry out to God for the Lord. Thank you. next prayer focus is pray for China. Now let's ask God to continue to touch this country as they're growing more and more on the international stage, that they would also grow in terms of their openness to the gospel. And let's pray for churches in China, the underground churches and the three self churches and the leaders that are being raised up right now. And ask the Lord to just breathe His wind over this country, and that we would see millions upon millions of people get saved this year in 2010 in China. Let's pray for our building, our move, the extension of the vision. Let's pray that God would just bless us and provide for us, and that God would bless the members as they give as well, and we would see a real miracle happen in front of our eyes. Let's just ask God to open the doors for the right place for us, and that He knows. And so let's just intercede and just put this request right in front of Jesus. Let's go to our member focus. Let's pray for our sister Chelsea. Let's ask the Lord to just continue to move and minister in her life. Let's pray for our brother Charles, and let's ask God to bless him. And I like the number one prayer of faith. Amen. All right, let's lift up Charles. And then let's pray for our brother James. Let's ask God to really move upon him as well. Lord, we bless you today, God. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to set people in front of your face, God, right in the center of your attention, Lord. And I pray, God, that as we pray, Lord, that we would pray and offer prayers of faith, God. Lord, that and as we move in this way, Lord, that you would come and you would reward, Father God. We thank you so much, God, for your graciousness, Lord, and your ability to not only take care of our eternal matters, God, but also our temporal matters, the matters on this earth. And we bless you for that, Lord. Watch over us this day, God. Help us to bring glory, God, to your Son, Jesus. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. And have another great day. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm.